just wanted to say thank you for everyone who prays for our church and for our community and for our country and for our nation. And particularly in this past week, people have taken up an hour block to pray into lots of different things. And I just recognise that I'm one of the chief beneficiaries of the prayer that happens. And well, I get to see it, not necessarily for me personally. And I just, had a pastor's retreat a couple of weeks ago. And it was just as encouragement that God gave me to another pastor, just to say, you know, with the battles that we face, and he was in a church with a pretty messy situation, just the picture that prayer is like when you're facing, trying to work your way through a jungle. Prayer is like the, machete that chops a path through and that has a big roller that flattens it out. So there's just this grace that happens when people pray, that we can go through situations just knowing that the Holy Spirit has gone ahead of us, and we can anticipate that. So I just really, with that in mind, I just really appreciate all the prayers that people do pray, and just encourage you to continue to pray for our leadership, for our community, for the kingdom. This morning, Easter Sunday, felt to take something curious about when I read the account of Jesus's death and resurrection. I just love the disciples. They make me feel so much better about myself when I don't know if anyone has here watched the series The Chosen, but it's just glorious because you go, they really were human. Like we see the highlight reels and whatever else, but it's so true. And so I want to just read through of the account from Jesus' resurrection morning through to his end of his time in ministry here. So it's going to read 4 pages. I'll read fairly quickly because you've got the benefit of being able to see the words on the screen and you can read faster than I can speak. Here we go. So I want you to pay attention to what the disciples do, and also, as always, the red letters, what Jesus has to say. And my goal for today is, if you don't know much about Jesus, I hope that you will walk away liking Jesus. And I pray and I hope that today, if you like Jesus, you'll walk away and you'll love Jesus. And if you're someone who loves Jesus, I hope you walk away deeply in love with Jesus. Okay. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking their spices that they'd prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, 2 men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here, he is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and must be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women, notably, who told the apostles what had happened. But the blokes weren't so sure. The story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. That same day, 2 of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus. This is just Jesus comedy, this story. 7 miles from Jerusalem, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, what are you boys discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles and was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and in the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who'd come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer at these all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus, and the end of the journey, Jesus acted as if he was going on. And they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Curious timing. Then he broke it and gave it to them, and suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, zip, he disappeared, as he does. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly appeared, standing there right amongst them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it. And they watched, and he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah should suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that the message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Israel. There is a forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So these disciples, they were with Jesus for 3 years. And Jesus walked on water, healed people, raised people from the dead. It's just amazing to think, how did they not get it? And it's so easy for us in hindsight to go, "I wouldn't have done that. I would have known. I would have believed. I wouldn't have doubted or disowned Jesus." But I think we would have been the same. And Jesus did. He lived an incredible life. He did amazing things. He experienced amazing things. And he promised amazing things. Jesus did heal people from sickness. He healed people of every kind of diseases. He healed lepers. He healed blind people, deaf people, crippled people. He was amazing. He raised people from the dead. That's a real healing. Dead for a few days is a real healing. And the thing about these amazing things is Jesus said he would heal people. Before he even started, he was baptized, went into the desert, got tested by the enemy, Satan, and came and turned up at the synagogue, the local church. Was the guest speaker of the morning and scrolled open a book in Isaiah, one of the prophets from hundreds of years earlier. And he unrolled the scroll, found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back, and sat on down. And everyone was looking at him. What's this about? And he began to speak to them. "The scripture you've just heard today has been, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." He said that he was going to heal people. He also experienced amazingly bad things. He was unfairly sentenced to death. He should never have been tried. It was done in the middle of the night. It was a kangaroo court. He could have talked his way out of it easily. He was tortured to within an inch of his life. He was crucified. The most horrific form of torture unto death. And he came back to life. He resurrected people, but he came back to life himself, which is unique, to say the least. But the thing is, Jesus said to his disciples that he would suffer, he would be killed, he would rise from the dead. In Matthew, a couple of times in Matthew. "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hand of the elders, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead." And then in Matthew 20, a little bit later on, again, Jesus said he would be betrayed, sentenced to death, tortured and crucified, and resurrected. So read Matthew 20. "As Jesus was going on to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. 'Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead.'" Jesus knew what he was going on. I think a lot of people go, "Oh, poor Jesus, like he's really had a hard time." He wasn't surprised by it. He positioned himself for it. God used the evilness of man to fulfill his plans through Jesus, who did it willingly, fully knowing what was in store. And he told his disciples what was going to happen before it did. The other amazing thing that we kind of, I don't know, don't talk a lot about for some reason, Jesus exited planet Earth without dying. Just, they say, he just kind of drifted up. I'd love to have seen it. They didn't have smartphones back then, but imagine. See you later. Exit planet Earth. He also said he was going to do that. It was in the plan long ago. Again, earlier in John 14. "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. It's a supernatural peace. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you." So he's obviously said it before. "I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen. So when they do happen, you'll believe." And then again, "I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you'll remember my warning. Didn't I tell you earlier that I was going to be with you for a while longer? But now I'm going to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it's the best that I go away. Because if I don't, then the Advocate won't come, the Holy Spirit. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." So what's the point? What do we take from this? The simple message that I really want you to take away today and remember for the rest of your life is whatever Jesus says, Jesus always does. Jesus cannot tell a lie. Jesus cannot say something that he's not going to do. Jesus is truth personified. He's perfect in every way, as we sang. You know, He can't lie. He can't tell half-truths. He can't make half-hearted promises. When Jesus says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. It will happen. So, what else did Jesus say he would do? These are the things, again, I just want us to take in and to be reminded of, to savour, or if we're hearing it for the first time, just to receive it again. Jesus says he will forgive you and empower you to enjoy the freedom. Because it seems a bit strange with this forgiveness thing, and he teaches in when the disciples to pray, forgive us our sins. We all know the Lord, a lot of us know the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. It's like, oh, we only get forgiven if we forget others. But no, it's a gift. Jesus wants to forgive us from everything that we've done wrong and give us the freedom to forgive others so that we're not bound by the things that other people have done to us. It's not a condition that we lose out on. It's a double bonus. For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So he doesn't want you to be forgiven for the things you've done wrong. He wants you to have the freedom of forgiving other people for the stuff that they've done that really hurt you. Jesus also says he will save you from the penalty of your sin. That's what Easter is so sweet. And again, it was prophesied, she will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, because his very name means Saviour. For he will save his people from their sins. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world. People think Christians and Jesus are here to put him down. He didn't come here to judge people. He came here to save them. And whoever has believed in me, Jesus says, and has been baptized, will be saved from the penalty of God's wrath and judgment. We're free from anything and everything that we've done. It's almost too good to be true, but it's true. Jesus also says he will transform us. He will make us a new creation. And we'll become more of the person that we were designed to be. I assure you, said Jesus, unless a man is born from water and from spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We have to become a new creation to enter into his kingdom. He doesn't want to just an improved version of ourselves, a morally superior version, a gooder girl, a gooder boy. Therefore, if anyone is engrafted in Christ, they are a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. The fresh and the new has come. Amen? The best gift ever. Jesus says he will give you his very own spirit to live in you. He's up with the Father for a while, but he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So they're talking to the disciples. He's with them now and then they experience him living in them. And again, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, that helper, the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit is gold, to say the least. He does so many things for us. He won't come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you. He's not talking about the person sitting next to you. He's saying he wants to send the Holy Spirit to you. Just to help the poor old disciples who copped a bit of stick from me. Just to see what happened. This is Acts 3. The Holy Spirit came on them just before this. Get the Holy Spirit. Then Peter's in the Jewish temple. He's just healed a man who was crippled since birth and stands up and says, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling all that the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Completely different man from the one that kind of didn't want to know about Jesus. And then the rest of the disciples, all of whom, I think bar one, died because of their faith in Jesus, died because they wouldn't deny Jesus, died for the sake of Jesus. They brought the apostles before the high council where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never to teach in this man's name. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. They called in the apostles, had them flogged, whipped. Then they ordered them never to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And then they stopped preaching. No. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they continue to teach and preach the message, Jesus is the Messiah. Round of applause for the disciples. What Jesus says, Jesus always does. Jesus says he came to give you life, real and eternal life, more and better life than you could ever dream of. Jesus says he will give you the best life possible. If any person is engrafted in Christ, they are a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, have I read that before somewhere? Bit of deja vu. Jesus wants you to have the best life ever. That's what he said he came to do. That's what he's going to do. And he says he'll be back soon. Can't say when, but he promises that he will be back to share his kingdom with everyone who accepts him. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. He's talking about the coming days, which could be soon. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory, probably similar to the way he headed off. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up. For your salvation is near. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If there were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. And then when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am and you will know the way to where I'm going. It's going to happen. Jesus said it would. So, will you allow Jesus to do all he says he wants for you? That's the question. If I could invite the worship team to come back up, just give you the hope that I might be finishing soon. Trust what Jesus says. Trust what Jesus says, Jesus will do for you. This is a personal thing for you. Allow Jesus to forgive you and empower you to be free to forgive others. He wants to forgive. He doesn't want anything to weigh on your head. He gives us a conscience so we know when we have sinned that we can forgive, confess. But he wants to forgive us quickly, freely, daily. And he empowers us so that we can forgive others every time, quickly, daily. He says, he doesn't just, like us, forgive people, but we might have to bring that one up again in the future. He says that he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Allow Jesus to save you from the penalty of your sin. If you haven't received Jesus as your Saviour, all you have to do is invite him in. All you have to do is recognise that you do sin, that you don't always live the way that you know that you should live, and that Jesus wants to help you change, to live in freedom, to live life to the full. But he doesn't want you to. Jesus is full of grace and full of mercy. Full of grace and full of mercy. Grace is getting the good things that we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting the bad things that we do deserve. Jesus wants to save you. He is merciful because of his grace. Allow Jesus to transform you. Just savor the fact that he doesn't want you to remain as you are, because there's more and there's better to come. He wants you to become more and more of who God created you to be. That's all of us. And he wants to give you the best life ever and forever. When you have the security of knowing the truth that Jesus has said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. You will have eternal life. And that just changes this life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, you make that decision, receive Jesus into your heart. He accepts you. He resurrects you. He makes you a new creation. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. So much more, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. And allow Jesus to fill you with his Spirit. Not just once, again and again and again. Again and again and again. Daily, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you. Give you a sense of God's love for you. Help you to know how to live well. How to see from God's perspective. How to see yourself from God's perspective. How to see others from God's perspective. Holy Spirit is the best gift ever.